We got one more guest, one more segment here for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is with Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the Odds Report. Sharp money in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. A good segment there, lots of fun, lots of good insights. So hopefully you enjoy it here with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Well, I'm not gonna lie to you and say it's a balmy sunny day, but it's actually the daytime was today, but it is kind of clouded over and rainy right now. I think we talked about before how, like, basically we have two seasons down here. You've got the warm, dry season, and then you've got the green or wet season. So right now we're in, if you know what you might want to call winter. But the thing is, it's like still, I mean, today, like Celsius wise, it was like 28, 29 degrees, you know, today. And then around like 3 o'clock, it clouds up, which is, it's kind of nice because it's almost like clockwork that, you know, like around 2 o'clock, it might cloud up, around 3 o'clock, it might rain a bit. So it's kind of nice. I mean, yeah, people miss the four seasons, stuff like that. But I don't know. I kind of like knowing it's not going to rain in the morning.
When's the last time you saw the leaves changing colors?
Oh, geez. Long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that happens obviously in fall, and obviously fall is the crazy time of year down here. So yeah, I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, so you can take your two seasons and your heat and humidity, and I'll take the nice couple of weeks of fall before the snow starts to fly and everybody gets miserable. But speaking of miserable and dreary and gloomy and everything else, the NBA starts on Tuesday. 2 weeks after that, college basketball starts. And I guess the weather conditions kind of sum up your mood about the start of basketball season.
Well, at least, you know, weather doesn't come into play with basketball. Actually, I'm going to say it's kind of like, wait a second, it has sometimes. I mean, haven't we had like, you know, was it buses don't make it to games sometimes with college teams and leaky roofs and stuff like that on the court? So I guess weather does affect pretty much every sport.
Yeah, I guess so. So when we talk basketball, specifically we'll talk the NBA here for just a couple of minutes, again, because that starts on Tuesday. But, you know, we talk a lot of football here, and obviously with football, you've got multiple days to balance the books. You've got different waves of action, different limits at different times. How is the process different when you talk about something like the NBA or college basketball, where, you know, the games are more frequent throughout the week?
Yeah, no, it is very different. I mean, I'm surprised we didn't have this conversation when the hockey season started, but I'm just going to assume that you kind of, that was just a misstep on your part, and what applies to NBA kind of applies to NHL, because there are kind of games where you're talking similar travel and same, similar in terms of back-to-back stuff, but you don't have that quite as much with the NHL. But it is a different, you know, way in terms of managing risk, simply because, yeah, you've got the overnight lines that are, you know, basically the next day. You don't have a week to kind of massage lines and balance action and kind of like stuff with injuries and that. It's almost instant. Like, you know, you've got a game on Monday night and there's a game on Tuesday as well with the same team. Any injuries that happen on Monday night are immediately going to affect your Tuesday game, where, you know, a Sunday injury in NFL, you might not find out until like Wednesday, maybe Thursday, if that's going to affect the guy the following Sunday. So that's a couple of the ways where things are different from, you know, football in general. The thing too, I mean, specifically with NFL, I mean, there really is more influential money in the NFL markets. And I say influential, that can be, you know, square money as well as sharp money. You know, NFL basically is that one sport where so many public people bet it that they can influence the market. You don't say that much about any sports. Definitely not about college basketball and not NBA either. Yes, there is, you know, more public money involved in NBA than college basketball, of course. But still, it's not enough that's really going to affect the markets. But, you know, NFL is that one sport where, yeah, I mean, you do get more, you know, you get so much public money involved that it can affect your numbers, you know, especially when we're talking about games where sharps haven't come involved yet. You really don't have a position, or, you know, you don't have an indication of where the sharp money is or where the line's going to go. You just kind of have to act based on the action you get, whether it comes from a sharp guy or a public customer.
Well, and in college football and the NFL too, I mean, scores are traditionally by, you know, 3, 6, and 7. In the NBA, it's by 1, 2, and 3. So in terms of moving lines around, in terms of managing your risk that way, you know, what's sort of the, you know, operating procedure for moving lines around in the NBA or college basketball?
Yeah, obviously you're, you know, we're more aggressive on you know, these numbers basically because of the nature of scoring. Like, you don't want to, you know, sitting on the NFL in particular, you don't have a need to kind of sit on a three or a seven and, you know, juice something up to like three minus 120 or what have you because of that, you know, it being a quote unquote key number. So obviously it makes it a little bit easier in terms of you have to, you know, you can kind of avoid those situations where, oh, I got to hang on a key number and stuff like that. Or, oh, you know, I got bet so much on that and it's, you know, X number, you know, percentage of times the number lands on that. So you kind of throw that out the window. And of course, totals, instead of a game talking, you know, say, you know, 45 and a half, you're talking about games that are like 213 and a half. So obviously moving totals as well, you can say, you know, really significant moves on totals and stuff like that as well. So you can be a lot more aggressive with NBA. You don't have to hold on to key numbers and stuff like that. So it's a little bit nicer in that way. But then again, you don't have, you know, as much action on those games. The market isn't completely involved, you know, all of the market on all the games. You kind of got select games where you might get good action on, like, say, a TNT game or an ESPN game at night, but there's no real equivalent to like a Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night game in the NBA.
Well, and I mean, obviously we joke and we talk in jest a little bit here about the NBA and college basketball, but also it's just, it's a lot of work for a much smaller handle than what you're going to see in football. So that's kind of why, you know, it's not exactly a couple of beloved markets for the odds makers and risk managers.
Yeah. And oftentimes, I mean, you know, in NFL in particular, you kind of have a good feel in terms of, or an anticipation of, if I go to this number, I feel confident that I might get something back, just because there's so many sharps involved in that market. And also there's so much public money involved in that market, and guys who will just, you know, take a number because it's the best on the board. You just don't get that in NBA.
All right, well, let's get back into football here then. I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk college basketball later on, especially, you know, as we get closer to the NCAA tournament, talk a little bit more about some futures exposure and things of that sort. But we go to the college football side here, and in fact, we've got a Friday night game to discuss. We haven't had too many of these here this season, to my recollection, but we've got the late game here, game 315-316, UNLV in Fresno State.
Yeah, it's interesting. We, for whatever reason, we haven't had a chance to talk about Friday night games much this season, but this one does jump out with the sharps involved, and not a great game on paper in terms of, like, I think UNLV is 2-4, Fresno State 2-3 or whatever, but you know, the records might be close, but the spread here is not. I did get bet on the favorite already at minus 14. I think it opened as low as 13.5. I got hit at minus 14 by sharp money. This number is up to 16 pretty much across the board. I haven't seen anyone touch 16.5 yet. I think I saw one book hovering around 15.5, but I'm on the high end at minus 16 because I have both sharp money at minus 14 and you know, a public count of about 2-1 also favoring Fresno State. So sharps and public going the same way on this game. It's, you know, maybe interesting to note or not, the total on this one has ticked down. I mean, I opened 54.5 and this number has gone down to 53. I think there's some 52.5 out there as well. So the total is trending down, even though the spread is going higher. And when you're talking, you know, double-digit, you know, numbers like this, usually they kind of coincide in terms of the over going with the favorite, but not the case here.
Yeah, and in fact, I've seen a lot of those games here this week. I'm sure, obviously, you have as well, managing risk on these games. And, you know, I was talking with a buddy of mine. He did mention that there are a lot of games this week where weather could be a factor. But you've got games like Tulsa and Cincinnati. We got a 17-point spread and a total down from 51 to 47.5. There are several games that kind of fit that mold. New Mexico and Wyoming, 19.5, total down from 54 to as low as 48.5 out there. Arizona State, Utah, another one, almost a 2-touchdown favorite. Totals come down 4.5 points this week. That just seems like the theme for one reason or another. Totals coming down in games with big favorite numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really get involved in terms of, you know, why the numbers move the way they do, because that's kind of you kind of have to read the mind of the sharp guys driving the markets and, you know, where they're, you know, what they're thinking and what their thought process is, which I can't really get into just because I can't read their minds, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of the markets, you know, games like that. And again, it could be a case where you've got, like, teams who are, like, traditionally strong defensively, who just, you figure are just far superior. And yeah, they're going to, you know, they should dominate. Maybe they're going to run the ball a lot and dominate. You're going to eat up a lot of clock. And maybe their defense is so strong, you think, you know, they might hold the other team to 10 points or a touchdown or what have you.
Well, and speaking of that, something I asked you about last year, but it's a good time to ask about this once again here. We're getting into late October. We're getting into bad weather. When you talk about totals movement based on weather forecasting, Do you guys adjust based on how things look, or do you just kind of let the market do what it's going to do based on what they're reading about the weather conditions?
Yeah, I mean, we do have handicappers we work with who kind of, you know, help us out in terms of massaging the number, if you will, in terms of, you know, where we want to open up and where we, you know, one of the key things I think I talked about last week was a lot of what we do in terms of risk management is kind of anticipating where the number is going to go and anticipating where your customers are going to bet. That's kind of like one of the keys to the risk management. It's not, I mean, the opening number is key, and the less you have to, have to move a number once it's open, the better off you are long term. But still, you kind of, some numbers may open a certain way. You don't want to be too far off the market, but you have a kind of profile of your customer base and where they're betting, and you have a feel for the, where the number is going to go. So those things do come into play when you're talking weather. You know, I think most often, you know, what comes into play is wind. I think people underestimate the value of wind, because wind obviously really affects passing attacks for both sides.
All right, so we move here to a Saturday game, another one with a little bit of a total moving down, although it's sharp action on the side here that we're going to discuss in game 317-318. First game on the board for Saturday, Duke and Virginia. What's going on here?
This is kind of like a big game, it kind of seems, Duke and Virginia here. You had a couple of teams sitting at 4-2, I think. This number was as high, I think it opened at 3.5 and got bet up. Came right back down, though, with the Duke money, sharp money on Duke, plus 4.5. I'm down to 3 minus 115 on the home side, Virginia. So this one's gone all the way down to 3, you know, cross 4 like nothing. And it's interesting, on this one, I do have a wager count favoring Virginia as well. So you see the number has dropped from the 4.5 where the sharps grabbed it down to 3 minus 115 on the favorite there, Virginia. Yet the public is with Virginia. So that's a strong indication from my end that, yeah, you know, that the sharp money that I got is accurate, and it's also reflected in the market, because not only did I get bet here, but that's obviously transpired across the board with everyone sitting at 3 minus 115, even some 3 flats right now. So a sharp public split, if you will, in college football here, with the sharp money on Duke plus 4.5 and the public going the other way with Virginia.
Do you see a 2.5 coming here?
No, I mean, right now we're sitting 3 minus 115. And like I said, I don't think the sharps are going to come back on Duke at plus 3. They kind of would have grabbed the 4.5 and 4, which is probably even 3.5, which dropped this number all the way down to where it is right now. I kind of suspect that someone else got hit there at plus 4 or even at plus 3.5. That's why the number's gone down to 3 and it's held steady, because I think the reflection of the public money I have with a wager count of 2-1 favor of Virginia is probably out there, you know, market wide. So you're getting public support on Virginia. If you don't have to move off the 3, why would you?
All right, so we jump down here to game 341-342, NC State and Boston College. Boston College, pretty big quarterback news here with Anthony Brown out for this game, and I believe the next several weeks, if I'm not mistaken. That kind of leads us to where the sharp actions come in on this game.
Yeah, I mean, this hasn't been a substantial move yet, but it was kind of like, you know, it's obviously 3-7. Adam, they're not as key numbers in college football as they are in the NFL. But minus 2.5 is where I took sharp money on NC State. Again, we're same price. We're at the 3 minus 115, much like we are with Virginia, just kind of the other way. Instead of the number coming down, the number is going up. Now, this one here, I don't really have, you know, a count one way or another. I'm pretty much even on this one. So I'm 3 minus 115. Sharp money came at minus 2.5. The market completely across the board is minus 3, minus 115. So if anything, if you ask me on this game, could I see 3.5 on this one? Maybe, simply because I don't have anything kind of pulling the market back on Boston College. Now, do I think that 3.5 might be the number that sharps come back the other way? You kind of don't know until you throw it out there. But for right now, my count's pretty much even. So I'm not in a bad spot. Just the one initial bet from the sharps at minus 2.5. The game lands 3 is not terrible for us. So right now I'm going to hold off where we are. If the market goes up, we'll go with them.
All right, so we jump down the board here once again, a pretty long way. Game 401-402, Iowa State and Texas Tech. And I feel like week after week, Brent, we talk about Iowa State here on the segment.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I mean, they've always seemed to be one of those teams who kind of underperforms when they're supposed to win, and they kind of overachieve when they're not supposed to win. At least for us, you know, on my side, they seem like a tough nut to figure out, and that's been going back for a couple of years. They've been like that for us. This line did open as low as 5.5. I got hit on the favorite Iowa State on the road minus 6. So you got a road favorite here getting the action in this game. Iowa State on the road at Texas Tech. I've got a sharp and public split here, as I do have a weighted count of about 2-1 favoring Texas Tech. Sharp money on Iowa State was at -6. I'm -7 flat right here. I do see a -7, -115 out there as well. So it looks like, you know, this not just here where we got bet on this. We're holding solid at 7 right now. Like I said, I got the count favoring Texas Tech. So hopefully we don't have to move, budge off the 7 right now, and that'll work fine for us, getting the sharp money at -6 and public money going the other way at 6.5 and 7. So right now, not too bad money-wise. Count going 2-1 the other way. Sharp money, Iowa State. Public the other way on Texas Tech.
So really the only way you move off 7 here would be sharp money on the Texas Tech side?
Yeah, for me. But I mean, you also have to look at things in this way, in that even if I'm getting money the other way on Texas Tech, if the entire market moves up to 7.5, and let's make the assumption that it's sharp money driving the market, as I've got public money here on Texas Tech and other books probably do as well. So the number did go to 7.5 and I hang a 7. Now all of a sudden I'm making, I'm making Iowa State more attractive, and I already got bet, -6 on Iowa State by a sharp guy. So you definitely don't want to, have a more attractive price on a team that you already got bet by sharp money. So if the market went 7.5, I don't want to hang low on them. I want to go with them.
Well, and that's always interesting too, because there are some shops out there, and most notably there are shops in Las Vegas, some of the brick and mortars, that will dig in and will take positions based on some of their own thoughts on a game. Is that something you'll do if the market goes to 7.5? You're going to say, you know what? I like the other side anyway. I'm going to stay 7.
It's not so much. It doesn't happen as much in college football. In NFL, yes, we do. We do that more often, simply because it's down. It's a book to book situation in terms of having a profile of your customers and what's going to work and where you think a number is going to go. I mean, I can usually look at the NFL slate and say, okay, my count's going to be roughly 2-1 on this game, 5-1 on this game. Our guys are going to bet the over on this one. Even if I go, a half point higher than the market, or open a half point higher, they'll probably drive that number up to a full point higher. So you kind of have a good feel in terms of where your customers are going to go just by profiling them and kind of looking at games. And every different game, based on the volume you're going to track, you have a different risk profile for it as well. I mean, we're going to be in a different position in terms of handle and what our account's going to be like both ways, and what our position is going to be like on a game like, say, Philadelphia Dallas versus a game like Miami and Buffalo.
All right, so we jump down here to one of the marquee games in college football this weekend. There are really only two really marquee games, Oregon-Washington being one, Michigan and Penn State being the other one. And again, I say marquee game, but you and I have talked about this before, and we've talked about it a lot here on the show. A lot of these top 25 type games, still with big spreads here this season. That's the case here with Michigan and Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, it's always nicer if we can talk about these big, marquee games, as you mentioned, but they just, the sharps are going to play what the sharps play. And I can't kind of go fishing for sharp action that's not out there. So I can only refer to what we've taken here. This game here, yeah, it's interesting. I've got sharp money both on the favorite and the over, which is typically a kind of public spot to be. The total is different in this case, though, in that it's weird. I've got public money favoring the under, which you just hardly ever see. But that is the case here, with sharp money on Penn State -7.5. Also sharp money on the over 45.5. So the 7.5 on Penn State at home has gone to -9 right now, and the total as well has gone up to 47 from the over 45.5. Now, again, the initial money on the total came at 45.5, and we touched 47. And again, is kind of strange that public money is going, favoring the under, but it's almost like 4-1 favoring the under, just a strange spot, just because public generally likes to, the profile is that, okay, we're going to, public's going to want to bet for scoring, so they're going to bet the over. But this is one of those games where they typically think about, like, smash mouth kind of football. It's going to be back and forth, running game, blah blah blah, eat up a lot of clock. So it kind of doesn't surprise me when you look at it that way, that the public is betting the under. So I wouldn't be surprised if the number ticked down a bit to like maybe 45 or 46.5 from the 45.5, but just 47 seemed like a high number. I know it's not like, okay, 45.5 to 47, it's not like a massive move on a total, but I just feel that number might come down, and I think I'll probably get decent two-way action on the side as well, sitting at -9 we are right now. I'm getting, since I gone to 9, I've got kind of bit of buyback from Michigan. It seems to working that way. My count on the side is 4-1 though, so the initial action was all Penn State at 9. I'm starting to get some back the other way though.
Well, and I think what's really interesting here, for and again, we try to encourage our listeners to look for the context clues. This number opened 7.5 with a total in the mid 40s. Probably thought that was a pretty good number to balance some action. And yet, as you mentioned, 4-1 at the outset, sharp money on Penn State. For our listeners out there, when you see an opener north of a key number with a total that's, you know, relatively low for college football in a big game like this, it says a lot. And I think it is very surprising to see this line going up. But again, obviously some very influential money on Penn State.
Yeah, and the thing too, like I talked about, you know, with referring to NFL, you kind of have to have a risk profile for each game. Now, you don't go through every single game and kind of break it down that way, but you kind of cluster games in terms of the amount of action you expect to take and kind of what your risk position and your risk tolerance is for that game. Obviously, this game is going to attract a ton of betting volume and betting attention, so you kind of, you know, you sit back a little bit more knowing that you're going to get a whole lot more action, and, you know, you're generally speaking, there's going to be a lot of, you know, action coming in on Saturday before this game, and also, you know, kind of right before kickoff, getting a ton of volume from people who kind of bet the early games going to get involved in this game as well. You know, like I said, the total as well, with it going the way it is in the public betting the under. Yeah, I can't help but think that people are looking at both these teams and how they played Iowa. You know, that is the common opponent they have, and that's never a great way to handicap a game, saying, okay, this team beat that team by this much, or they beat that team by this much, so this is how the result should be. But, you know, Michigan squeaked by Iowa in a very low scoring game, and Penn State, same thing, a very low scoring game with Iowa. So I just kind of get the feeling that people are looking into that. And again, with just the kind of the typical mindset of these teams playing smash ball football and running the ball a lot.
All right, so we transition over to the NFL side here, looking at the Sunday card. And usually when you send me these games, they're in rotation order. So I apologize if this isn't the game, but I see at the top of the list here, I don't know if this is supposed to be Arizona or Atlanta. So I guess we can go ahead and talk about game 451, 452 anyway. And if it's not that, then we'll touch on Atlanta further down the line. But this first game on the board here for Sunday, I think is interesting because you've got two teams that really aren't very attractive to back, but the Giants look a lot healthier coming off the extra rest.
Yeah, this actually wasn't the game. You can slap my wrist for that. Yeah, I put this out of order. That was Atlanta where the sharp money came in. But yeah, it's interesting, this game. Like, I don't know. I mean, you just kind of get the feeling that Arizona is one of those teams that, and kind of preseason was the way that the public was kind of getting behind. Once the season started, they were going against Arizona kind of consistently. Now, I mean, the Cardinals are playing decent football, it seems, yet this number's gone from 1 all the way to 3 right now. So, you know, NFL-wise, that's a pretty big move from 1 right on the key number of 3. I don't see us moving off this from, you know, just from where it came from and judging where the market is right now. I do have a, you know, wager count favoring the Giants as well of about 3-1, which just kind of surprises me because, you know, I don't think either of these teams is very good defensively. So this number probably in terms of the total might, tick up. It did open at 50. We're 50.5 right now. I could see that kind of trending upward as well. Count on the total is about 3-1 as well. So a strong count going towards the over on this game. Don't have sharp money on this one. But yeah, I mean, kind of substantial move for these two. I'm just going to say two bad teams.
All right. Well, we jumped on to game 455, 456 here. One bad team, one team that looks to be pretty decent here. Miami and Buffalo, big number, lowish total.
Yeah, it's interesting with this Buffalo team because if you think about the NFL right now in terms of who's, you know, who the good teams are, like I said, you know, this team is definitely good and stuff like that. I mean, the NFC East, you got, you know, your two leaders are 3-3. Green Bay looks good at 5-1. Although you kind of feel bad for Detroit. They lost the way they lost. And Minnesota's looking good. I mean, I think New Orleans, I guess if you figure when they get when they get Breeze back, they'll be strong. And San Francisco, I mean, I don't know. Are they as good as they are right now at 5-0? Maybe not that good, but they definitely do look like a good team. And Seattle, I mean, they kind of sneaky sitting at 5-1. It's like, how does Seattle get there? And beyond that, I mean, Houston's not a convincing 4-2 with the defense they have. I would say the same thing about Kansas City, the injuries in the defense they have sitting at 4-2. So it's very kind of, a strange season so far in that, like, you look at Buffalo, the kind of sneaky, they're like, they might be one of the better teams, and they got one of the best defenses, I would think, out there. And obviously New England's been fantastic. But all that aside, talking about Buffalo's defense, Sharp money on the over this game. We're at 41 right now. Sharp money came in on this one at 39.5. I've also got a count favoring the under, which again, with Miami's offense, probably not surprising. With the reputation of Buffalo's defense, probably not surprising. So a strange one again. I talked about before in college football with Penn State. Usually you don't get public money involved in unders, but I guess kind of when things seem so obvious, they definitely trend that way. So I've got a count towards the under of about 2-1 in this game with Miami and Buffalo. Yet the total has gone up 1.5. From 39.5 up to 41 where we are right now. Side, there hasn't been a whole lot of movement on the side. I do have a count favoring Miami, but just nothing worth moving off. It's about a 3-1 count favoring Miami, but not a ton of money involved in this game yet other than total play.
Yeah, I was even kind of looking from a contest standpoint. I don't like the NFL card this week at all. I was kind of thinking about laying the Buffalo number at 17 just because I don't know how Miami scores, but seeing some sharp action on that over, maybe a little bit of cause for concern there on my end. We moved down one game here, 457, 458, Minnesota and Detroit. Another total with sharp action. A lot of totals here on today's segment, but first we'll talk about what's going on with the sides too.
Yeah, definitely have more total action in terms of the sharp involvement this week. And, perhaps you're sharp yourself, Adam, seeing as though you struggled with picking a side for your contest this week. Maybe the sharps are having trouble picking a side as well. So you've aligned yourself well in that regard.
Yeah, I got to start. I wish I could pick totals. I like some totals this week.
I was literally laughing out loud. I shouldn't have done that. Sharp money here on this game is on the total here on the under. It's tipped down 1.5 as well from the 45 where I got bet by sharp money. So I have sharp money on the under 45. We're sitting at 43.5. The number again on the side, this has flip flopped on the spread. You went from a small favorite of Detroit -1 down to up to, if you want to call it, to Minnesota -2 on the road right now. So that's where we are on the side. Looking at my count here, it's not bad, really. I mean, it kind of looks like it's just been public money going the other way with Minnesota. I do have a count of close to 3-1 with Minnesota. I don't know. You talk about teams who kind of you might be sneaky good. Detroit, man, I mean, they seem like a decent side. I wouldn't be surprised if this number came back down. If it went up to 2.5 on Minnesota, I think that just be a night, might be enough to get sharp money involved on the home dog there. Detroit kind of like snake bitten, I guess. I mean, they kind of ran all over Kansas City. I think they lost that game, and last week they looked really good against Green Bay as well. So I mean, Detroit's sitting at 2-2-1, and you figure they could easily be 3-1-1 or even better than that. But the under is where the sharp money came on this one, under 45. And again, kind of playing into that as our defense did look very good last week as well.
All right, so we go to game 463, 464 here, Rams and Falcons. And, one of the reasons why I'm having difficulty with this NFL card is I feel like there are a lot of teams going up against each other that I just don't really want to back. This is one of those games, but, sharp bettors are a lot smarter than me.
Well, I mean, the Rams, it's like, literally at a loss for words trying to figure them out. I mean, you're talking about the team they had last year and where they are now, sitting at 3-3. They started out great. They've lost 3 in a row now. Their defense just doesn't look good. I hear from people who I respect talking about Goff and say he's just not that good of a quarterback, how much he depends on their coaching staff and stuff like that. Another kind of, narrative maybe playing into this one is the home and road splits with Goff as well. I think they're well documented that his road splits versus home wins are very, very different. He's just not that good on the road. The Rams too, they've made a couple of trades recently to shore up their offensive line and on defense as well. We'll see how that goes, but Rams I think so far just been a disappointment. Talk about disappointment. I think Atlanta obviously is a disappointment as well, sitting at 1-5, so they're not a whole lot better. But the home side getting +3 even money is where the sharps came in on this game. I've got a wager count about 3-1 favoring the Rams as well. So this is one of those definite public and sharp splits. No surprise at all that the public is still betting the Rams. I mean, they haven't got off them. They're still kind of the hangover, I guess you will, from last season. You still get the impression that, they can put up points whenever they want to. But for me, it's just that defense doesn't look very good at all. Atlanta has a whole lot of success throwing the ball and throwing the ball deep. So I think they might expose the Rams as well. So this is one of those ones where getting the Rams +3 even money like the sharps did, I could definitely get behind that, even though they have lost 4 in a row. So this one, the way things are shaping up, is definitely going to be a sharp public split with the sharp money on Atlanta +3 and public all over the Rams. Total wise, haven't seen just, you know, not sharp money involved, just public money going with the over, which is no surprise. Open here at 43 up to 54, or sorry, 53 up to 54 and a half now.
Do you see 2.5 here? I mean, is that a possibility, or are you going to be able to hold on 3?
No, I think we're going to be able to hold on 3. I mean, if, you know, I hate to go from, you know, off the number down to 2.5. And even at 2.5, you'd have to put some juice on it. So I think we'll just stick to the 3 where we are right now. We are 3, dog 15. If push comes to shove, we'll go the other way. But I think the sharps spoke with Atlanta already. And the difference between, you know, laying 120 and even money on Atlanta obviously is quite big in terms of sharps, and that's quite a gulf in terms of your break even point. So I think this number is going to hang where it is. And like I said, I do have a count about 3-1 the other way in favor of the Rams from the public. So I think that's going to continue.
Well, and I think another tough thing for me with regards to contests here this week is that there are so many of these games hovering around key numbers. And we've got another one here, 469, 470, Baltimore and Seattle. 3 with juice, some places still trying to hold that 3.5. It's the sharp action on the total that you and I are going to talk about. But just in general, a lot of games on key numbers, varying juice, some hooks, some non-hooks. It's a tough week, I think, overall. And it's got to be interesting trying to balance action on all these key numbers, too.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those weeks, though, even though, you know, I guess there are some interesting games out there. I mean, I could say, okay, Arizona and the Giants, that's an interesting game, but it's not an attractive, sexy game, but it's an interesting game in terms of how evenly matched those teams probably are. You know, Houston and the Colts is another one. You've got, Houston on the road at Indianapolis, where that line flipped from Houston -1 to the Colts -1 now. So, you know, a lot of kind of subtle movement like that are around in terms of the sides. And this game here is one of the, you know, if you want to talk about marquee games in NFL, this is kind of a real big game with Seattle, the sneaky 5-1 Seahawks at home to Baltimore at 4-2. The count on the over is probably no surprise at all of 3-1. So I got a strong count favoring the over. Yet if you see that opening number on this game was 50.5, down to 48.5 right now. So that's an indication that the sharp money is on the under. I did get bet by sharp money here on the under 50.5. So my sharp money is kind of gone where the market has as well. And again, you know, you don't look often for sharper in public splits on totals like this, but it's nice when you find them in the NFL. No surprise with the Seattle offense and the Baltimore offense that the public is going over on this one. Again, a count of 3-1, yet the number's gone from 50.5 down to 48.5, a full 2 points. Side-wise, not a ton of movement, really. It's kind of like 3.5 dog 15 or, you know, 3-120 where we are right now. Count on the side is pretty much dead even.
All right, one more game to touch on here in the NFL, and we call this the chase game sometimes, the late game, whether it's college football or the NFL. Massive handle coming on game 473, 474, Philadelphia and Dallas. Sharp action, what we'll talk about on the total here. But again, this is an interesting one because it has moved off the key number of 3 relatively early in the process here as we're recording on Thursday evening.
Yeah, it's interesting with this one too. I mean, people definitely, there's the whole, you know, a team's as good as bad, or, you know, never as good as bad as their best or worst performance. And Dallas, they started out obviously so good and looked fantastic. And maybe that was a bit artificial. Now they've kind of, I guess you could say, come crashing down to earth, having lost, I think, 3 in a row now, sitting at 3-3. Philadelphia now 3-3 as well. So basically you're saying that these teams are pretty well evenly matched, and home field is what's kind of separating the number here. And most places are sitting at 2.5 -115 on Dallas, or maybe 3 dog 25 and stuff like that. So it is hovering around that number. I expect it to be that way pretty much, you know, up until kickoff. I just can't see this one going much any other way. I do have a count public wise also favoring Philadelphia. So it's interesting, like Philadelphia, you know, both of these teams are sitting at 3-3, but I guess Dallas, kind of just the way they performed recently, you've kind of got that ugly in your mind, and the public has that mindset that's what, you know, reflected in the bet count of 4-1 favoring Philadelphia. So it's quite a strong, you know, count, I think, favoring Philadelphia in terms of the fact that both teams are 3-3 and you got Dallas at home. So be interesting to see how this one shapes up closer to kickoff. Unfortunately here, I've got one of those cases where I got the public money and the sharp money going the same way on the total, and that's towards the over. This one opened here at 48, and I got bet right away on the over 48, sitting at 49 right now. So I'm just, you know, just the one point move with the market from the 48 to 48.5 up to 49 where we are right now. My count towards the over, no surprise, is about 4-1 towards the over. So that's kind of no surprise as well. And again, with this game kind of, you know, being the last game of the week, Sunday night, I expect the trend to follow in terms of the over money. So I'll probably stay at, you know, maybe a half point higher than the market on, you know, on Sunday, just trying to see if I can fish for some money back the other way. No real exposure, though, going from 48 to 49 where we are right now.
Well, a lot of games here, a lot of good insights, a lot of interesting stuff, as always, on this segment, The Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Brent, we appreciate your time, as always, man. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
Pleasure speaking with you, Adam. Thank you.